International Podcast Day is September 30th, and you can help spread the word. International Podcast Day is dedicated to promoting podcasting worldwide. You may be asking, what can I do to get involved? It's pretty simple. First, head over to internationalpodcastday.com and check the suggestions. Second, use hashtag Podcast Day to join in the conversation. Remember September 30th. Now, let's start the conversation.
The following is a presentation of the Match Talk Podcast Network.
Hello, wrestling fans. It's time for the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. The World Wrestling Resource was made that you as a wrestler, parent, coach, or fan can have access to all the resources of the very best in the world of wrestling. I'm three-time wrestling writer and broadcaster of the year, Jason Bryant, and I want you to join me, along with John McGovern and world champions Terry Brands and Dennis Hall, as we talk training tips, topical discussion, mental preparation, and more on the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource is sponsored by Defense Soap. Find World Wrestling Resource on Facebook at facebook.com/World Wrestling Resource and follow us on Twitter at WWRESO. And, of course, on the web at worldwrestlingresource.com. Now on to the show as we join John McGovern, Terry Brands, and Dennis Hall. Episode 34 of the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. Welcome back. My name is Jason Bryant. Today we're going to be talking with world champions Dennis Hall and Terry Brands. Number of topics to discuss involving international wrestling and things that are on the burner. We're just getting off of a great Cadet World Championships performance by our freestyle program. Missed out on the medals in Greco. We're also going to be talking about the non-Olympic worlds coming up. And the first thing I want to touch on, guys, is the recent announcement. And Dennis, we'll start with you on this. Is the United World Wrestling has not been very active in changing the rules since 2013, but this is a significant rule change that impacts Greco-Roman wrestling. No more forced parterre. And what that means is when they're blowing the whistle with the passivities, they're not going to put the wrestlers down on the mat in parterre to give the more active wrestler an opportunity in top to score in that position. And first thing that comes to your mind, Dennis, this probably isn't good.
No, it's not good for sure. If you read the rules or as I read them, they're going to be awarding points for passivities. And anytime you give the officials the power to award points, there's corruption that's going to be involved. You know, if they weren't going to award points, I'd say, yeah, it's okay. You know, but as soon as you start awarding points for passivity, you know, I know I've wrestled overseas enough where when they can take matters into their own hands and help people, they're going to do it. And you know, so for me, everybody in the U.S. is like, oh, it's great for the U.S. because we got beat in parterre. I'm like, you know what? We could have sharpened our skills in parterre. I mean, you know, where we're weak, get some guys from overseas to help us get better. And, you know, it's another way for the organization to control things. And, you know, I don't think the rules were broken that bad where they had to go to no force parterre. You know, like I said earlier in a broadcast, if you want to put me down five times in a match, my defense has to be good enough to defend five times. I don't like the way it's headed. I think they change the rules way too much. I mean, if you look at American football, do they change the rules every year drastically? No. They wouldn't have a fan base. It would be done in about 2 years if they change the rules as many times as they do in Greco.
And one of the bigger things, that there's two things that kind of complicate this in terms of context. One is the issue with the Serb beating the Armenian with another passivity call that basically, it was the 1-1. There was the point. You had the referee determining the winner of that match. And then on the freestyle side with what happened with the Mongolian, but Frank Ngomez as well, involving the Uzbek. So you've got two freestyle matches that you see questions about the officiating crew. In fact, one was completely suspended. An entire crew was suspended. And then now you make a rule change like this. That's kind of got some people scratching their heads. Terry, I want to get your take on that. When there's so much controversy about officiating, and then there's a rule change like this, even though it's not impacting freestyle, that's got to make people scratch their heads a little bit.
Well, I'm there also. Here's the thing, though. When you talk about the rules of a sport, why wouldn't you want to test the athletes in all the areas. So if parterre, if I get a takedown and parterre is part of that, why wouldn't you want to have a situation where if a guy's not wrestling hard, you have an opportunity to put him down and try to turn him if he's being passive? Why wouldn't you want to exploit that? Why wouldn't you want to be able to do that as an athlete and as a ruling or a governing body make that be able to happen? It was a great rule back, you know, in the 90s where you had forced parterre without the point. Probably the way I was hoping to see it, I kept hearing they were going to get rid of the forced parterre in Greco, but what I was hoping for was get rid of the point in the forced parterre. You know, just do the passive. If you're passive, you go down. In freestyle wrestling, if you're passive, the guy, I can go both up or I can have him put down on the mat. And, you know, you want to talk about scoring points and testing the athletes in all the realms of the sport. That's how you would do it. So, and then, you know, the other issue is the corruption and the things that the Mongolians brought to the front stage of UWW. But I don't know if I'm ready to talk about them being combined. I don't believe that UWW is putting this rule in so that they can determine who's going to win the medals and who we can put in for the to get them into the semifinal or this or that. I don't know if I believe that. I think that it opens a huge avenue for officials to be able to do that, but I don't believe that that's the motivation behind this rule change.
Now, I do have one question in terms of how the rule sets are. And, you know, in the United States, we're always talking about trying to bring wrestlers over to Greco-Roman and try to recruit them over to Dennis Hall's side of the fence. And with a rule change like this, Coach, if you've got an athlete that Terry, you're thinking that could be going Greco, now you're looking at this rule change, you're like, I mean, are you thinking twice? Be like, you know what? You know, okay, he's good on his feet. Okay, or is it even more of an enticement? Well, you're good on your feet. Let's do that.
No, I don't think it's that at all. I think that, you know, when we have people in our program that can contend for, you know, Olympic and world team spots at the cadet, junior, and senior level, then we got to get them in there. It's that simple. The rules aren't going to dictate whether or not we compete to make teams and to win world and Olympic gold medals. The rules are things that, as coaches and athletes, you deal with, and just because we think they're silly doesn't mean that we're going to necessarily boycott our guys or boycott a championship and that kind of thing. We got to figure out, you know, as coaches and athletes, as when those rules change, how do we make the best use of those rules to make our wrestling the best so that we can win those Olympic and world gold medals. It's that simple. You know, the other side of that is, you know, Iowa has to do a better job of, you know, getting our guys in Greco-Roman. You know, we have some people. We have Sam Stoll, who was a world bronze medalist. We have Perk Paddock, who was a junior national champion. Corey Clark was a junior national champion. We have some guys that can wrestle, and they have some great Greco skill. The funny thing is there's not a lot of reach out. You know, there's not a lot of invitation. We spend money to bring our guys to the freestyle camp, but we don't have a lot of invitation from, you know, either side of the fence here with the freestyle or the Greco saying, hey, why don't you bring Clark out or fly him out or we'll fly him out, you know, and whatever. I don't see that a lot. So it's hard for us to really, you know, maybe see where, you know, what are we going to do, feel Lindland out? Go, hey, Lindland, you want us to bring Paddock out to Colorado? You know, it's kind of a slippery slope there, you know, and maybe we need to have a better relationship with the national office, and the national office has to do a better job of reaching out. I don't know what the real issue is there.
All right, Dennis, and we talk about recruiting and retention and kind of touching on what Terry said a little bit there and then tying it together with the junior and the cadet worlds. We did not medal at the cadets in Greco, did get two junior medals in Greco-Roman with Tracy Hancock and Taylor Lamont. So the first stretch in a while since I believe Stoll did win that medal that Terry alluded to earlier. So when we're looking at the development, it's got to be a positive thing to see two junior medals in Greco. But now we got cadets and we got kids that really probably, when you're looking at that age group, they're not Greco seasoned like these guys internationally are. What can we do to kind of close the gap for our, you know, 16, 17 year old kids that are, some of these kids, this is maybe their first or second time ever leaving the country. And we're disappointed when we, oh, what's wrong with U.S. and Greco at the cadet level? You know, they're not experienced at that level. I mean, we're wrestling folk style the entire time and freestyle to certain points. And then you're on a Greco world team. Dennis, what, you know, what's it like for those kids to go over there and be like, this is your second time wrestling Greco overseas. Good luck, kid.
That's pretty much what it is. I mean, the training's got to get better. They got to have more training centers where it's being taught. You know, at a lot of the regional training centers, they have the freestyle being taught and, you know, not really focusing much on the Greco. And I'm not blaming anybody, but, you know, it's got to be a different system. Matt's got to come up with a program that works and where we can get the athletes the skill set they need. You know, part of the problem is our folk style season goes way too long. I mean, as far as, you know, compared to our freestyle and Greco, I know up here in Wisconsin, folk style season goes all the way through the end of March for our younger kids. And then our freestyle and Greco season goes from beginning of April to May. And then if you don't choose to wrestle at Northern Plains or things like that, the different national tournaments, you get a month of training freestyle and Greco. And it's just, you know, folk style, and I'm not saying it's a problem, but I think we need to really emphasize and point out the skill sets that wrestling freestyle and Greco bring to the table so more kids want to do it for a longer period of time.
As we switch back over to the freestyle side of things, at the juniors, had a pretty impressive performance. Spencer Lee, Mark Hall, both winning junior world titles, Dayton Fix winning a bronze. And when we look at the development at the, we'll get to the cadets here in a level, but the junior, we're not that many junior world champions come from the United States. And Coach Brands, when we look at athletes like Spencer Lee and Mark Hall that win titles, and this is kind of what Dennis talked about, they're, you know, about what they need to do in Greco is, you know, spend more time with it. These two guys have spent a lot of time wrestling freestyle. They've spent times at the training center. They're seeking out freestyle opportunities to get better. And when you look at two athletes like this, are they the model that we should look for on the type of athlete to do this to become an eventual world Olympic medalist? Or is this just, they're kind of just exceptional athletes that are doing the right things?
I don't think it's a model. I mean, I don't think it's just the exceptional athletes, and I think it isn't necessarily a model either. I think it's a combination of the two. Here's where I'm at with it. And again, you can go back and listen to what I said to you before on this stuff. You're talking about a organization who was against funding junior and cadet world championship participation. Now, go back to what the coaches council did. The coaches council basically mandated that you have to pay for the junior and the cadet teams to wrestle in the world championship. And then we would get guys on the board that would go, why in the hell are we going to do that? Why are we going to spend $40,000 to go over to Serbia or go over to Germany? And so our guys can go 0-1. And my immediate response to that was, so we don't go 0-1 in the frickin' Olympic Games. That's why. So what you're starting to see is you're starting to see that. And I think this this cadet performance with Greco, I think there needs to be patience. And there has to be a system or a model, if you want to call it that, like you said, where, like Dennis is talking about, you got to get something in place where Greco's cool. You got to get it where it captures guys to want to do it. How do you do it? I don't know. I'm pitching right now. Do I have a solution? No. But there's a lot of ideas out there. If you hire me and I accept the job as the national teams coach or as the, you know, the high performance director, then I got to come up with those solutions. You know, Dennis Hall and Terry Brands and Jason Bryant, they're not going to listen to us anyway. So, you know, maybe with the brainstorming and somebody, maybe one of those ideas catches fire, maybe they grab a hold of one of those ideas and it works more. But They're not going to take our ideas. They're going to have to take their ideas. How much time are they spending on this? You know, how much time are they spending on what makes Greco cool? Why are the Europeans so doggone good at it? You know, what happened at the cadet level? Yeah, you know, I saw the 69-kilo guy. He lost 5-0 first round, and he's out of form. I know that he has some pretty good Greco background, so it's not just that this was his first time over necessarily. You know, he's taught, he's educated, he understands the sport. But let's not beat up on the kid. Let's take this experience and, you know, let it work for him and continue to bring him along and continue to foster his interest in Greco-Roman wrestling where, you know what, he stays with it. But he also becomes a great collegiate-style wrestler. And if he dabbles in freestyle, that's awesome too. You kind of see where I'm heading with all this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the one thing that kind of leads to my next question in terms of you said what can make Greco cool? Well, you know, we're seeing some athletes that might take a year or two off. You know, we saw Henry take 2 years and go to the training center. We saw Kyle Snyder take a year at high school and go to the training center. We're seeing some athletes do that after high school. But, you know, is it that hard? I think it's got to be hard for a 16, 17-year-old kid to decide, okay, all my teammates are wrestling on the high school team. They're doing folk style. Or you know, somebody that's the alternative is like, okay, I'm going to go Greco full-time. I mean, how much of Greco training do you think the kids need to determine to be successful? Or is, you know, without giving up their high school teams that they, you know, their teammates that they love and their friends and high, I mean, you know, it's hard for people. It's a unique opportunity, but it's also a unique individual that it takes to take them out of their high school environment and send them up to Northern Michigan or send them out to the Olympic Training Center.
You can make all, and Dennis, I don't mean to step in on your territory here, but you can make all the excuses we want. We can talk about college wrestling. We can talk about high school wrestling. The bottom line is Dennis Hall won. Who was the world champion at your weight from Michigan? Who am I missing? Come on, Terry Brands.
Joe
I'm
Warren.
Afraid of
Joe Warren.
What?
Joe Warren.
Joe Warren won a world championship because he's a mean son of a gun. And he won a world championship worse than anybody else. Dennis Hall won because he wanted that world gold medal. He was an Olympic gold medal contender because he wanted to win that gold medal. That was the most important thing in his life. That's yep. Number one. So anything else that you say is irrelevant to me. If let's take this 69 kilo guy from Florida. I can't remember his name. I'm really bad right now. I'm on my way to a fundraiser, so forgive me. But you take him, and he doesn't have to give up. He doesn't have to give up high school wrestling. You know? But what we have to do is we have to give him those opportunities. And we have to give those opportunities without where he doesn't have to come up with money. I don't care if it makes, you know, $4 or $5 million a year. He still should be have his trips and his invitations paid for by the governing body because of what he lost 5-0. Is there hope for him in the future? Probably.
For sure.
Probably. So foster him. Get him to think that Greco's cool. Get him to really buy in and be part of these teams that are going to the Olympic Games, that are going to the World Championships in Paris next year. Get him to be in on those camps where he's rubbing shoulders with those guys. I mean, his freaking season's from November to March down there at the most, and then let's turn him over. You can be a great collegiate-style wrestler using Greco skills. I mean, literally, what's the difference between a high dive and a double? 6 inches?
No.
What's the difference between an arm drag to a single leg or an arm drag to the body? We're talking about 3 or 2 inches there. I mean, the adjustments are, timing-wise, they're huge, maybe. And we can say this and that. And remember what the argument was. Remember what Brandon Slay said when he came to the Olympic Training Center. He said, you cannot win freestyle gold medals by being in the college program. Well, he's changed his song and dance because he saw that that's how Americans are going to win. And that's the bottom line. College wrestling is here to stay, guys. Freestyle wrestling is here to stay. Why do we want to fight and battle against it? Let's use it together. Let's be compatible. Let's be inclusive. let's not be divisive. Let's be inclusive. You know, the whole freaking country could take a lesson from that, from just that statement right there, in wrestling and in culture. And we always want to fight. We want to fight. We want to fight. This guy, he sucks. This guy, you know, to try to understand where's the common ground. Where can we all get really, really good at this?
Dennis, you got anything to add on that? Because I'm kind of speechless. That was perfect.
I think Terry's right on, though, with you know, the national staff reaching out to the college programs. I think until we get the college teams on board, we're missing out on hundreds of athletes that could add depth to our pool. And I think right now, you know, it's going into a room like Iowa. You know, if Matt doesn't want to travel there, okay, and then at least pay my cost to come down and be in the room for a week and give guys guidance and teach them. I think there's a lot of guys that would be willing to go to college rooms. I mean, we got Greco guys throughout the country that would go in there in the springtime and work out with guys and teach and do things. But I think right now, it's so separated in the United States and a lot of the college coaches, and I don't mean to harp on them, but, you know, they haven't been reached out to as far as from our national governing body to try and go into their room and say, hey, you know what, do you have any athletes that are good throwing? You know, I talked to Schwab down in Northern Iowa. I talked to him a lot about trying to get some Greco guys from them. I think it's important. You know, if we ain't reaching out, the college coaches ain't going to send their guys to us. You know, we got to show the effort to get them to wrestle Greco. And I think you would get more guys to wrestle Greco because I know a lot of college coaches ain't stupid when it comes to, you know, if their kid's good at an underhook, he's going to get a lot better at an underhook and be able to have more offense in folk style if he wrestles Greco. So I think just the hand fighting skills that college athletes will pick up by wrestling Greco will translate great into folk style. So I think we all got to, like Terry said, instead of fighting each other and banging our heads against walls, we got to figure it out and we got to come together and realize that, hey, we're promoting the same sport. It's wrestling. Doesn't matter what style.
It's going to cost money. It's going to cost money.
Exactly.
Dennis Hall should not have to volunteer. Dennis Hall.
I mean, I don't mind volunteering, but, you know, I don't like being abused.
But you should be paid. This is something that you should be paid. Well, why do we want to do it? Well, you want to do it so that you're not ripping on Greco up one side, down the other after the performance in field. When we got, like, guys like Pierre Petrovic out in Colorado Springs who knows how to win. That guy knows how to win, and we're hamstringing him. We're hamstringing him, and he shouldn't be hamstrung. Dennis Hall knows how to win. Pay the guy to go to see Schwab. Pay the guy to go to Cornell College out in New York or whatever the situation. I don't know what the situation is, but pay the guy.
All right, so as I want to drive the conversation out of the Cadet World Championships, and as we talked about, you know, Jack Davis at length on the Greco side of things. Now, Cadet World's three world champions, Kurt McHenry, Yannick Diakmihalis, and Gable Stevenson, Vito Arruja took second. A great performance in terms of the team, the highest points that the country's ever scored at the Cadet Worlds. And since we brought the Cadet Worlds back in 2010, Terry, this has been one of these things that, you know, there were no cadets in 2000 to 2009. There were 10 years that we lost this. How important or what is the impact you think is going to happen with the cadets that's going to lead to the juniors, that's going to lead to the seniors, because there is a Cadet World Championships?
You're seeing it now, and you're seeing the trend, and you're seeing the situation that we just talked about. I mean, you're funding these guys. You know what the thing is they weren't even funded. They weren't even funded. They had to pay $1,500 is what I hear. And so now let's wait and see what happens in 2020. Let's wait and see what happens in 2024. You know, this is something that where you're starting to realize that it isn't about oh, America wrestles collegiate style. It's not that. It's not. It's the idea of being able to get, we got smart people. We have smart coaches. We have smart wrestlers. We have people that can adapt. We all got American blood running through our veins. You know we're going to fight. Give us the opportunity to just go out there and contend for those gold medals. And you're going to see this, you're going to see this trend continue. And there's going to be times where, you know, we might have a down year, and you know what? You just got to keep plugging away and use this as the ultimate goal of being able to be the best and the most dominant Olympic program in the world in freestyle and Greco-Roman wrestling, period. Period. The national coaching job is a management position. You know, when they talked to me about that job, all I said was, all I got to do is I got to manage the position and unify the colleges, unify the RTCs. And we think we got to have this huge hands-on approach, and they're going to tell us when we got to be out there. They're going to do this, do that. Well, Dennis Hall has been saying for years that, hey, get our guys out in front of the best talent. Let our coaches coach. Let our regional coaches coach. And you know what? You're going to see this trend. You're going to have to see it because that's the way it's moving. I love it. I absolutely love what's happening right now.
One thing I noticed while watching Kurt McHenry, you know, he's a Virginia guy. I know his dad. I met him in, and even though he's a Virginia guy, I met him in Moscow at the Worlds in 2010. But in that last sequence, you know, he gets in there and he gets in the scramble. He's tied. He's behind. But the attempt that he made, he went right to a crotch lift in a situation that, you know, he actually looked like he knew freestyle very, very well, beyond like a cadet, knew the situation, you know, wasn't going to folk style that score, went through, got the crotch lift, got the two, won the world championship on a freestyle acumen. I mean, that's the type of development that, you know, watching it as a fan, I'm like, that's what I want to see in crunch time situations is, you know, a kid that knows a freestyle score, for lack of a better term. I mean, yeah, you can use that move in folk style to defend, but I mean, that's a scoring move in freestyle. I love seeing that. I love the Gable Stevenson's tenacity, and Yanni is just the kids put together. He's got a great skill set. So what do you think about our skills from our cadets on the freestyle side that's going to build upon what you were just talking about, you know, that desire to win the gold and be there, but technically and tactically, how are our cadets comparatively speaking for maybe just a couple years ago?
I think that the Cadet World Championship has marked that. There is something, these guys are dreaming of being World and Olympic champions now at a younger age because of it, whereas before it's the NCAA championship. And so you're seeing the video, you're seeing the things, you're watching the things, you're training. Look at our junior national team, our best juniors that wrestle in Fargo. I would say the same thing about a majority of those guys. I would say that those guys understand freestyle wrestling. They have a set of skills in their wrestling that is very specific to that freestyle wrestling style or whatever. A guy's not, you know, doing a Grammy roll or, you know, and here's the downside of that. Seth Gross. Did you guys watch him wrestle?
Absolutely.
He got beat because he had not had enough freestyle exposure. He stands up and he's like waiting for the official to call stalling, it looked like to me, and then he got launched on his head by the Turk and went down 9-4 at the break and then lost 11-10. You know, so those are the things that we're continuing to wrestle out of, but you are exactly right. You are starting to see that very, very smart, savvy wrestling where those styles and guys are knowing, they don't even think, it's just an automatic response of what they need to do, and that's what you're seeing now.
All right, there's one unique thing about one of these athletes, and I want to get your take on it because it's not something that's widely known. It's out there, but Gable Stevenson's full name is Gable Dan Stevenson. I mean, come on, Terry, you got to appreciate that.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. And you know, what do you want me to say to that? I mean, yeah, of course.
It's just one of those things, you know. I mean, it's. I think the story is back when he was an eighth grader. They were talking a Minnesota wrestler, Iowa name. So you know, it's just kind of a unique thing that, you know, I've known the kid since he was 11.
Yeah,
and
they got both worlds with that, right? Minnesota wrestling and Iowa wrestling name. You got the best of both worlds. That's a reach out. See, I'm reaching out. I'm throwing an olive branch up there, north of here.
Well, it's because we both have very similar winters. But one thing we won't talk about with winters is North Dakota, because North Dakota, you can't really say around Iowa in this particular part of the year after that. What happened to Kinnick last weekend? But we won't go there. We'll move to another topic. And I want to talk about the Mongolia situation again and come back to that, because the United World Wrestling officially stated that the two coaches who decided to, you know, stripped down at the Olympic Games, that made all sorts of world and internet, you know, world headlines. It was one of the most viewed wrestling clips, unfortunately, out there. But in their protest, the two coaches have been suspended for 3 years. There's been a fine for the Mongolian Federation, and that's basically how it ended up. But in the meantime, the Mongolians were provisionally suspended from all international events. So that meant that their cadets and juniors, where they showed up and they weren't allowed to compete. And then we follow that up with what happened to the cadets, Terry, with the Russian coach basically, you know, shoving the official in the face. I mean, what, you know, we don't make the judgments on what the penalty should be, but if you're going to suspend the Mongolians, basically their cadets and juniors and the entire wrestling federation, you'd think that something serious should be happening in Russia here after this coach assaults an official.
The situation there are two completely different situations. You have a situation where the Mongolians, I think they were well within their means for what they did. It wasn't violent. That's their culture. They put their culture on display. It's like the Pharisees ripping their coat, you know, or their robes, you know, in biblical times. That's the culture. That's they disrespect you. They don't agree with you. They don't respect what you say, so they rip their robe. The Mongolians, they strip down into their underwear, and they kick their shoes off, and they throw them down in front of the mat. Completely different than what the Russian did. The Russian did, what he did, he thought he was like some bad guy. He's just a bandito, man. I can determine the outcome of this match, and I'm going to go over and choke you out. That's really, really a completely different situation to me. The Mongolian suspension is very harsh, in my opinion. Way, way too harsh.
And what do you think that, comparatively speaking, yeah, they're two different situations, but if, you know, it takes a whole month of competition that impacts the entire Mongolian program, I got a hunch that I don't think that's going to be the same punishment that comes down to the Russian Federation here. Just my gut feeling.
I agree. They're going to get a borderline pass. The guy will get suspended. The coach will get suspended. And it will pass into obscurity. And whereas the Mongolians, I loved it. I think the world loved it. I think that pure wrestling people loved what the Mongolians did. Mamishvili and this Rushev guy, they got to go. They got to go. Not because he wasn't a great champion. He was a great champion. He's an Olympic champion. But he's got to go, and he's sitting there and determining who he's going to put on the mat, because he's going to pay him X amount of dollars to make a call that could favor a medal contention. He's got to go. That simple.
Dennis, anything on that?
No, I mean, I agree. I think, you know, I've seen him at tournaments threaten referees before, and, you know, and they allow it. I mean, they allow it, but I mean, I was at World Championships where a Russian ran out of blood time, and they were going to DQ him, and I believe it was Tucci was reffing the match, and he DQ'd the Russian for running out of blood time, and then Mamishvili, you know, told him he was going to do whatever to him, and they put an extra security around Tucci, you know, so I mean, he's got issues. I mean, and I think, you know, they're so used to pushing people around and getting what they want, and that ain't what the sport's about. It's about the best athlete getting a fair shake and letting athletes decide who wins the matches. You know, as far as the Mongolians, I think the Mongolians were right to do that. I mean, what happened to the referee in that match that made the decision to give the guy a point when he didn't stop the match and warn the guy? The rules are you have to stop the match and verbally warn the wrestler. And they didn't do that. So I can see why the Mongolians did what they did. I would have done, I mean, maybe I wouldn't have, but, you know, you got to do something to show that things aren't right in our sport. And I think, you know, for me, I had no problem with what the Mongolians did because I feel they got ripped off in that match based upon the way the rules are set up.
And it's the way that they got, it's the way that they got ripped because of the rule, not the protocol, not being followed, the official, yep. The who placed the official on the mat, all the things that are behind the scenes that, you know, that needs to be known. And here's another thought, you know, we talked about let's reach out. Well, where is Mommy Shabili going to be good for UWW? Let's use him where he can be really good for us. He's an Olympic champion. He's a Greco guy. You know, let's use him where he's really, really good. To put a guy that's that powerful in business in a position where he can influence officials, when he has that kind of money and that kind of political pull and power, why would we do that as an organization? It doesn't make sense. Where would he be good? I don't, maybe he would be good on a rules panel. Maybe he would be good.
Rules,
you know,
what, exactly.
Let's use him where he would be really, really good and healthy for our sport. Because he does bring a lot of value. He, obviously, all our Olympic champions do. All of our world champions have a lot of value to it, to them, to add to the sport, not to take away. Last thing I want to say that you're kind of ending it here is that's really what it is. It's about getting along. I mean, we're gonna throw him out. Well, are you gonna throw him out? Then we're gonna have more hatred and more division. Let's unify. Let's unify. And I don't know why that isn't a popular message. I don't get it. When I was talking to you, like I said earlier, when I was talking about that, the USA, they were like, what are you talking about? You got to unify. You got to go out and coach. You got to. You think Cale Sanderson isn't going to not, you think that he's going to hate me if I become the USAW coach and I'm going to be that divisive when I reach across the line? I want nothing more than to beat Cale's teams and every other NCAA Division I team out there, but that doesn't mean that I can't be friends with these guys and reach out to them in a different capacity if my job description was different. You mistake my competitiveness in my fire, desires to want to be the best in the world with everybody that I coach and myself and my team with ignorance and divisiveness, and that's not fair. That's not fair. It's the exact opposite. I'm not lukewarm. I'll fix the frickin' problem if I'm in that position. You know, if I'm with UWW and it's my job to travel, then I'm going to travel. It's my job to be political, then I'm going to be political.
Is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network.
For more wrestling podcasts, head over to MattTalkOnline.com.